That's a blessing. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read a verse and the context of that verse, but it's about the trial of your faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the trial for those believers there was the proof of their love. There was a great trial of affliction and deep poverty, but yet they were faithful to the Lord, had a rejoicing testimony. And it says that was the proof of their love. And sometimes we are tried to show the proof of our love. Sometimes we are tried so that God can mold us and make us. Sometimes we are tried so that other people can see that we have a strong faith in the Lord. But let's begin reading in verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, and we all go through those seasons, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, bless your word today. Thank you that you can speak to us and minister to us, comfort, guide, direct. We depend on you today, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. And I pray that the Spirit of God would meet every need here today for your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Strong faith. Talks about the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire. They'll be tried with fire. And then it says that it might be found unto glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, just a little bit, well, a little bit to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is about the judgment seat of Christ. This is for believers. This is where we will be. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we will begin reading here in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, a fiery trial. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Remember that. There's a reward for a strong faith. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's a lot we do in this life, and our motives are wrong, and the wrong reason, and even the wrong work, and it's called wood, hay, and stubble. And one day at the judgment seat, that will just be burned up. It will be tried by fire and found to be nothing. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, that is the trial of a strong faith that brings honor and glory to God and then reward to those who have that faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder and then them that diligently seek him. Why do we seek God? Because we have faith in God. And there is a reward for having that faith. A strong faith is a good thing. It gets you through a lot. And in the last days, it'll be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Some people laugh when you say, don't pray for patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Contentment is great gain. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to be content. But a trial will do that. So some people call it blessed trials. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. He goes in the strength of the Lord. It's not his own strength, it's God's strength. Sometimes we find out that there's a real weakness, and God can help. I think it's Isaiah 64, could be 63. I think it's in Isaiah. But it says, the Lord, I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee by the right, my right hand. And he will always be with us. Proverbs 25:4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The dross is the impurity in the silver, and the fire burns that out. The silver is separated from the dross. So how do you take away the dross? You have a fire. You have a trial. God does that, and he associates that with our trials. Psalm 12:6, a little way of introduction. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. We have the pure word of God. There's no sin in it. There's no mistakes in it. Amen? It's the Psalm 12, verse 6. It's just the perfect, pure word of God. We have in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have the pure word of God that can be in us. We have the pure Son of God that can be Christ in us. The living word. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit of God. And then it says, the written word, thy word have I hid in my heart. How do we purify ourselves? You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So we always come back to the Bible because it's the pure word of God, purified seven times. Amen? That's what God speaks to us, how he speaks to us and guides us. The living word, filled with the Spirit. The written word, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we could go on and on and on about that. But the way we are purged, the way we are purified, the way we are made clean is through the word of God and faith in that book. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. Okay, now let's take some promises in the Bible and let's make a picture for us today. Psalm 105:19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That's the trial. This is speaking about Joseph. Until the word and the promise was fulfilled, the word of the Lord tried Joseph. It's proving him if he's still going to believe God, even though it doesn't see how it can happen. God told Joseph, remember he gave him a dream, and his brothers were going to bow down before him, and he was going to be used to be a blessing to his posterity, and he gets sold into slavery. Ah, certainly not looking good. Then he gets thrown into prison. It's really not looking good. But God's word came to pass. The truth, the promise was fulfilled. But the word tried him because it wasn't fulfilled yet. We have all kinds of promises in the Bible. A lot about heaven, amen, a lot about our future. But it hasn't come to pass yet. And that word, those promises, all the promises of God in him are yea, and amen, so be it, it's true. And so we claim those promises, and that's where our faith is. We have in Psalm 66:10, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. And how is silver tried? By a fire. It burns off the impurities, and it's pure silver. It's the pure word of God. And so even though it hasn't come to pass yet, God proves our faith by believing what he says. the trial of your faith. Job chapter 23 and verse 10. This is chapter 23. He's gone through a lot of suffering. And it says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That was his statement of faith. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. No matter what it looks like, I know God is righteous. He doeth all things well. It's impossible for God to do anything wrong because he's pure. Amen? So that is just designed to help us. Hebrews 11, 17. And notice the language. In Job, it was when he hath tried me. Here's Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He knew that God was going to give him a son that would bring forth that promised seed. And even though it hadn't happened yet, he still believed God. You read Romans chapter 4 for that truth. Psalm 17:3, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, the psalmist said, and shall find nothing. And he goes on and he says, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I will not deny you. I will not criticize you. I will not doubt you. We have the promises of God. Amen? And that's where our faith is proved and tried. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He goes through the trial. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And it says, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So we haven't received it yet, but we know we're going to receive it. And so the word of the Lord tries us. Jeremiah 12:3. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Tried in a furnace. Tried in a fire. Tried by temptations. Tried by circumstances in life. But we claim the word of God. He doeth all things well. I don't know what your will is for my life. But like it says here, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That is a great verse. That is a promise in the Bible. And it says, what a powerful perspective. Instead of looking for convenience, maximizing comfort, expecting that all will go our way, we need to accept that the will of God is often accomplished through circumstances not to our liking. This is a tough and humbling lesson to learn, but in it, we start to love and appreciate him in a way that was formerly impossible for us. We begin to experience his grace more vividly, and his power becomes accessible and relevant in a fresh and exciting way. May thy will be done. We see God at work. We know his promises are true. And, you know, sometimes the older you get, the more experience, the longer you've been saved, you see that these things have been tried and proved. Tried and proved over and over and over. Maybe it's an experience we never go through. I remember as a young pastor, I had quite a few older pastors that were mentors and helps, and I would call and I'd say, I got a situation in church. Have you ever had anything like that? And I've heard on the other end of the phone, sure, I've seen that many times, but it was all new to me. I'd never experienced anything like it. And to hear somebody and to see how God worked in that circumstance, that's a testimony. That's where God gives you somebody some example, and you can see the Bible becoming fulfilled. So important. Tried in the furnace, tried in the trial. We are vessels meet for the master's use. And sometimes he has to purge that. I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs or any kind of book like that that talks about those that were really tried, went through great trial of affliction and even burned at the stake. There are two. There's a record of Ridley and Latimer, and I just want to read this. This might be very familiar to you. But at the stake, to be burned, at the stake, Latimer immortalized himself by exhorting his fellow victim Ridley with the words, we shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. They're glorifying God in the trial. They're giving their lives and never ruin their... All they had to say was, we're not going to worship Christ. We're going to believe in Caesar, whatever it is. And they would not do that. They would not deny the Lord. We have a Bible story in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it says, they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. The king wanted everybody to bow down and worship his image as him being God. And they said, we're not going to do that. And it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, if he doesn't, God is able. Amen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do absolutely anything. But what if he doesn't? And it says, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What is our trial today? Our trials, maybe it's plural. What is the trial that we just came through? How did we respond to it? How are we responding to the trial that we're going through right now? Is God proving us? Are we proving him to be faithful? Proving his promises in the Bible. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul said this. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those also that love his appearing. Paul, when you look at all of the things that he went through, he was always faithful because he believed God. He believed that God would see him through. Some men's trials are not as severe as others. A.W. Tozer, great preacher, wrote a number of books, said in one of his books, there are no soft crosses. And as we would look at somebody else's trial and say, boy, I wish I had their trial, they're looking at you and saying the same thing. You know, I wish I had his trial. No, I wish I had. But the trial that comes to us has a purpose. There are people always watching us. God is doing something in our life. I used a verse that I use often in the funeral yesterday. And it's in Ecclesiastes. And it talks about, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for this is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. And at that funeral yesterday, there were people that were gathered. I spoke with a lot of people before the funeral started, and they said, boy, you know, it's a shame. All of the relatives are here, and we see people that we haven't seen in years, and this has brought us together. And sometimes God does that. And this was the funeral of a preacher. And he had spoken to many of these people, but it brought them together, and it brought them to a place where the Word of God, again, was presented to them, where they could hear the gospel, and a couple people accepted Christ as Savior. So all of that, the house of mourning, it's not the house of sweetness, it's the house of mourning. But when somebody sees it, it makes them think about their end, the when life is over here. And sometimes that is God's design. We've done missions work in Romania, Moldova, or Ukraine early on, 1990, 91, 92. Unbelievable suffering in those countries. But God used that suffering in so many ways. I don't have time to go into all of it, but then we think, well, can God use my faith here without me suffering like they did? Yes. Because there's always some promise. There's always some testimony. There's always something God is going to use your life for. But we prove his word because it is very, very true. 2 Corinthians 8:2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. And they were used in a number of churches. That is recorded in the Bible. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. They had all of this affliction, great trial of affliction, deep poverty. The Bible describes that. And yet they honored God in every way that they could honor him. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If we can't keep up with the footmen, how would we ever run with the horses? And I'm not saying your trial is real small. It could be a great, great trial, but But even in the little trials, we need to trust God. Amen? And when we do that, people see that. The victory in the trial glorifies God, but in the victory in the trial gives us a reward. There's a lot in the Bible about rewards. Psalm 19:11, moreover, by them, the word, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is a great reward. Great reward. What is that reward? It's all kinds of things. It's inner peace. It's comfort. It's grace. It's trust. It's winning somebody to the Lord. It's being an influence in somebody's life. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. My reward is with me. We have 2 John 1:9. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. We're to run the race also, as well as to fight the fight. We're to run the race. Bible says, because if we do that, we can win the prize. Those are words out of the scripture. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before him. There are things in our lives that keep us from running the race. They're called weights. There can be a besetting sin, but they're called weights. There are things that keep us from being faithful to God, from being obedient to the Word of God, from being a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're weights. And if we get rid of those weights, we can run the race with patience. I think I used the illustration last week. Maybe it was last month. Could have been last year. But when we were on the track team and we ran the 2 mile, and so you ran a long distance, but a lot of times they will give you ankle weights. And you'd put those on and you'd run with those. You know, not real fast, not in a race, but you would use those to build up strength in your legs so that you could run faster. Nobody wore those when there was a track meet. That would be dumb as a box of rocks, right? And nobody wore ankle weights in the real race. And so it just doesn't make sense to have things in our life that keep us from running the race and honoring God and glorifying him and receiving a reward. We're to bear fruit as well as fight the fight. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The Apostle Paul said, I die to self. I die daily. And sometimes we have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. God, I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to honor your word. I'm going to be faithful to you. I read something about pruning, and pruning is trimming a tree, a shrub, a bush, by cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. I had a neighbor and a great friend came to know the Lord as his Savior, but he gave me a hint, a tip. He had trees in his yard, and they were beautiful. And he talked about how to trim those trees. And when you trim the top, it gets fuller, and he just knew what he was doing. But sometimes he would trim dead branches, but sometimes he would trim branches that looked fine. But it made the tree better by doing that. And it can make something more fruitful. Here's what the scripture says. In John 15:2, every branch that beareth fruit, that's good. The branches are bearing fruit, that's us. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And God does that in our life, amen? That's how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I remember when Linda and I first got saved, and we were hungry for the word. We wanted to hear what God was saying. We had a faithful pastor, and he used the word for us. And we would go to church, and we would sit there, and boy, we never heard that before. And man, boy, we better stop doing that, and we better start doing this. And it was all kinds of instruction, but we did it because we wanted to grow as believers. We wanted to grow as Christians. And we would go home and we would start to practice that. Amen? That's a good thing. And then the more we did that, our faith grew. And we began to learn the Bible and learn the promises and start to prove the promises. And then we shared our faith with other people. And other people were getting saved. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing to be used of God. But he purges. He prunes. He puts us through the fire sometimes, the trial, so that we might learn how to honor him. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul said that. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. That's a pretty amazing statement. His whole life was dedicated to serving the Lord. The dross is removed by the fire. The race, you run better if there's no weights. The fruit, the pruning knife makes it bear more fruit. Bible principle. Do you want to be pure and holy? Just think about it. Do you want to be pure and holy? Not everybody wants to be pure and holy. Some people just accept, well, this is the way I am, and it doesn't matter what's in the scripture or whatever. I just don't want to be pure and holy. To be pure and holy is to follow the Lord. Amen? And to do that, when the trial comes, we honor him. We follow him. We obey his word. And we let those things drop off. Do you want to run the race and win the prize? There are times when you get to the place where, Lord, let's just get this over with, you know? I'm so weak and whatever, but then we get back in the race because God has some time with us and shows us those truths. Do you want to bear much fruit? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's a blessing. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the tree of life. Luke chapter 9, well, let me just say this. The trials in our lives test our faith. And they prove the genuineness of our faith. Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What does that verse mean to you? I try and follow the scriptures. I try as a pastor to bring the word of God as he gives me messages and sermons. And I know I need to put it out there that we all need to follow the Lord, all of us. We all need to be a witness for Christ. We all need to be faithful in our testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that doesn't always happen in a church. It doesn't always happen in a family. But it's so important. I want to be holy. God wants all of us to be holy. Amen? He wants us to run this race. Do you want to bear much fruit? Do you want to do that? Luke 9:23, take up your cross and follow him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's so many verses in the Bible where it's God speaking to us. Well, the pastor, that's not what I really believe. Just get alone with the Bible. Just get a Bible and see what God says to you. And I'm sure that'll be a great, great blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, Paul is saying to the church there, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, that means contribute to or result in, redound to the glory of God, all things. For which cause we faint not, Paul is saying this, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That was his concern. It wasn't the trials that he had. It wasn't a day and a night in the deep. It wasn't being beaten. It wasn't being imprisoned. It was, how can I win somebody to the Lord? And it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, I certainly wouldn't call it light affliction. A severe affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, if we could only see that, if we could only be faithful to His Word. God uses a church, uses preaching, uses teaching. But God uses the Scripture one-on-one in a devotional time with Him, where you can just let God speak to you. Whether it's in the Psalms or the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, I mean, the book of Thessalonians, they're excellent, excellent truths. And God says, if you'll put your faith in what I'm speaking to you about, this will change your life. And it will change other people's lives. And that's what we're here for. Amen? That is what we're here for. Not a little more comfort, not a little more whatever, but it's to be used of God for His glory. The saying, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. First, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. I don't know how God's going to speak to you. If He doesn't even speak to you today, just let Him speak to you this afternoon. Let Him speak to you tomorrow morning. Open a Bible and say, God, speak to me because I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to be a good testimony. I want to prove my love for you, and may others see it. Amen? Well, let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word now. Thank you for it. I pray that it would change our lives for your glory and for our reward. What a blessing. You enable us to do something and then reward us for doing it. I pray that you would take each one of us today, use our lives, use our words, use our prayers, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.